Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. Yep, we're back. Another week has, and it's just been another week. I don't know. Just like it feels like we were hanging out yesterday, and it's already Friday, which is also good. Friday, yes. Good weather as well here in beautiful Vienna. And with me, I have two beautiful people. I'm, by the way, Patrice, the interim host. I forgot to mention that because Jeff is out today. But I have two beautiful people with me, and I'm going to start, top left on my screen, with Dave in a beautiful lilac shirt. I love that color.
Yeah, I got this nice shirt here. It's actually an athletic shirt, but it feels like really soft.
Nice. I love it. I love that. Yeah. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here. It's I'm finally getting my office in place, as people see. There's a few messy things here and there, but I got a nice setup here. I can go to here to work at work on the podcast and go to my right. I've got my work computer going right now. So, and then my back behind me, I've got to get that. That's my testing area. And maybe I'll make that my work area to get away from here at some point. But it's good. Yeah, the weather's getting nice here too. It's we're going to be, again, I don't know the Celsius conversion, but it's going to be about the 60 degrees plus today for Fahrenheit.
15-ish, something like that.
Yeah, so we have come some good weather, and looking forward to a nice weekend. So glad to be here.
Yeah. So have you put the whole warehouse with your robot and whatever that grabs you whatever you need? Is that already set up?
So I'm ready for the show. Yeah. When I got No, I still have stuff, but actually the move made me realize how this setup is better than it was in my other house.
Yeah, it's always nice, like new beginnings, new ways to set things up and figure out more optimal ways.
Yep.
It's always good. Really optimal, I don't know, that's a weird transition, Marty. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm in black. A nice lavender, because I am cooking today.
Ooh.
And I'm doing some chocolate stuff, and I'm doing some, you know, so it's much easier to not see the spots. So I'm in black today. I have relatives coming in. They're here for my son's fiance's wedding shower. So
nice.
I get out of the social events by cooking. So I'm doing two big meals and doing some desserts for the shower that I'll send over to the shower. So it's kind of fun to be in that element. And, you know, my office is up here on this level, and my, downstairs is where the kitchen is. So I can run between both of them when I need to.
Yeah, you're definitely looking very chef-y and like black, like outfit. No, I mean there's a reason why a lot of chefs these days, like, you know, white was the traditional one, but black these days is more what chefs prefer mostly.
You know, my sister-in-law, who's here visiting, a couple of years ago gave me one of those chef coats to
wear that.
Because I would cook on Thanksgiving, and those are so comfortable. You know, it's like.
I have some. Yeah, they're really comfortable. Yeah, and they're super easy to clean after you just throw them in the washer. And they're designed for that. So yeah, you should absolutely be wearing that. Like Chef Morty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have some stuff to talk about this week. The first and I would say most important question for me is, has anybody gotten, and I know you already have gotten, any new devices, like from what was announced this week and last week? Well, last week and this week. Anything new you bought?
Just all the Macs I have now.
All of them. All of them.
Pro Air Neo.
Pro Air Neo. Okay. So did you get a new Air, or is that an existing one?
New one.
New one. Okay. So you have a new Neo, you have a new Air. Okay.
M5 Pro, MacBook Pro, and then the...
Wow. Okay. You replaced all of them, or bought all of them. Wow. Okay. What are your feelings? Like, good upgrades, or good, like... investments.
Shameless plug. I'll plug for Marty. We're starting a new podcast about the Neo, so we'll be really hitting that because Mr. Podcast Machine there wants to had a crack idea, but we'll talk about it a little bit. But the Neo is just incredible. I just can't believe how fast it is. I've been reading so many people saying how great it is and what it can do, considering its price and considering its chip. The machine, it blows my mind. It really does. It could easily be just a simple travel with machine, even less, more so than the Air, which I was doing. So my work before was I would travel with my MacBook Air for bringing it back and forth from home to work. So because I wanted to have personal access, and then and then I'd have my MacBook Pro, the M1, which I just traded in. That's why I did all this. I had two trade-ins, so I got some. I didn't just buy them outright here, so so that helped. But then, you know, it was a FOMO with the Neo because both Marty and Eric both got it right away. I'm like, oh God, I'm gonna do it, but I did it. I went with the 512 and with the Touch ID. But
yeah, I'm that's really the one to get
college. Yeah, for everybody, most people. But yeah, I think for college students, for elementary and in high school, this MacBook Neo is going to just be selling like crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a sort of article today I just read from Tim Cook, even said how much he's so pleased with the enthusiasm and how much they sold already. And it's only been, what, maybe not even less than 2 weeks. So
not even. So it's been a little bit more than a week.
Yeah, just over a week ago.
Yeah.
So, I'm just thoroughly impressed with it. Granted, I pull out my MacBook Pro M5 Pro. Yeah, you definitely see the difference. I mean, there's some pretty serious performance. This M5 has just made a drastic difference compared to my M1. So I'll be using that for production. And I have a Mac Mini on mine here right now too. I mean, I'm just insane.
You got it, Marty.
that you can conceivably think of right now.
Yeah. But, what color did you get?
I think I went with silver. Just I wanted silver? To keep it simple. Mm-hmm. But I was tempted to get the citrus, but I don't think it was in stock at the time. Like, silver's fine.
Yeah, I almost walked out. I was at the Apple store today because my iPad has been wonky. It stopped charging earlier in the week, and I thought the battery was dead. Turns out the battery is actually... It's like, what is that, 2022, 2023 Air? I don't know, the Air from there. And I thought the battery was dead because it was crashing and then it stopped charging. I was like, okay. Turns out the battery is actually in a better shape than I thought, but something on the logic board is broken. But I'm not, I tried the Neo. They had them on display, of course.
Okay.
And I almost walked out with one because I was like, you're 100% right. It just feels really nice.
It does.
I tried the keyboard. They had both the 256 and the 512 version, of course. In all the colors, the pink Neo. I think I'm gonna buy one. I think I'm really.
That's the most popular. Yeah, that's the most popular color.
Yeah, I always said if Apple ever brings out a pink MacBook, I would buy it. Now they have one.
Even the keyboard. This is the white with the silver. Is really nice. I loved how they matched it, and that's it's kind of cool about that too.
The typing is fine. Like exactly.
2 pounds. Yeah.
It's so light. It's like as light as it is, it does not feel cheap. It feels very solid. For how light it is, really. Like that was the part that surprised me a little bit because I mean I expected it to be lighter, sure, because it's smaller and like all of that, and I expected it to be, I'd say, less premium than like a full-on MacBook Pro, and maybe there is a little bit to that, but it felt way better than I would have expected, and my expectations were pretty high because it's still Apple.
No, I'd like let Marty get in here. He's yes. got I know, lots of thoughts, but
yes. How many did you buy, Marty?
My approach to new equipment is one: I lease it, I never buy it.
Okay.
So, in Good the start. Sense that I just turn it in and get something else. The other approach that I realize now is I don't try to think in terms of how will I use this. I buy this and then it finds a place in my productivity.
Yeah.
So, first thing I realized, I had a Air, a 13 inch Air, from last year that I never touch. I wind up using the 15 inch. And so what I did was trade in the 13 inch. That went to a new Mac Pro Max. So I figured I needed to get my email faster than David.
Right.
And I wanted, and it, you know, and I wanted a workhorse, and I was like, I might as well do it. So I did that, and I got some money off from it from turning in the Air. I have a 15 inch Air with an M4 from last year that I traded up for the M5. And so, because I like the 15 inch form factor, it gives me a lot of space.
It's a great, it's a great form factor.
Yeah. And I didn't do the phones. Dave did the phone. He can talk about that in a minute. And I did buy a Neo and then like 2 days later bought a second one. So, you know, I'm real interested in its use and have been testing it through the week because when I go to school, I'm in meetings all day long. I got 10 hours of battery life on it.
Yeah,
and that was
good.
The only thing I was working on. I mean, that and I didn't recharge it, and I didn't, I was running multiple programs. I had hooked it up also to an external monitor. So I was, it wasn't just checking email and having that run in the background. I was using a lot of Chrome too, which also probably.
And that's a lot because,
Yeah.
You probably would have gotten more than 10 hours if you hadn't run Chrome.
Yeah, well, our whole world at the university operates on Chrome, so
yeah, for sure.
that was good. Yeah. I got the Citrus because I wanted to make sure when I walked into a meeting and took that sucker out, no one would confuse it with any other laptop.
Yeah,
it's okay. I brought it to class one time. Well, it was Thursday, I brought it to class, and a student came up after class and said, "Is that the new MacBook Neo?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm so proud." And I took it out. She goes, "No, I got one." And she said, "She already had one." And so we had some time to talk about it. She, I think the Touch ID is great for individuals.
Yeah.
I don't see school districts buying them because school districts don't need individual people to sign into their accounts the way they're going to use them.
Yeah,
but
that's
for
why
students,
that,
I think it's good.
Yeah, I think that is literally the reason why the lower tier one or the smaller, because I mean it's really the only difference, right? It's the storage and the Touch ID. I think there's no other difference.
She got one without the Touch ID, and I said, "How do you like it?" And she goes, "I have an Apple Watch."
Yeah,
so
that
I
works.
Can open up all of my accounts through my watch, and that's what I've been doing. So for her, the lower tier worked without that.
I mean, for students, 100%.
So that's the M5 15 inch Mac Air, the Pro Max, which I got 64, and that forced me up to a higher tier in terms of cores. Because I wanted 64 if I was going to go that
I did the
way.
Same thing, but on the M4, but same thing.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it was an expensive week for me.
you can
me
say.
Too.
But I have paid them all off. It was like, I just went ahead and did it and cleared the way for the next time Apple has products coming out.
Yeah. Tim Cook said that the Mac just had the best launch week ever for first time Mac customers. So I think that is telling you something about how popular the MacBook Neos are. I mean, Apple has always been pretty good with first time customers. I think they sometimes said like half of the customers are new to the Mac or something like that. I think they've always been good, but this seems to be an exceptional week. So, I mean, and I can see it. I see, you see it in the stores. Like today I saw like there were, I mean, I was upstairs where the Genius Bar is. And so there were less people there. So I had my quiet, but downstairs there was like crowds around those devices. So yeah, good, good. I think good thing, and I think I'll buy one.
Yeah, you're gonna have to look at it. You know, I tell you, you know, I have, and we talked about this last week. I did do a little bit of video stuff with the Apple Creator Suite and with a Final Cut Pro. I'm not going to use that machine to edit video.
But
students might use it to do, students might use it to do small video projects. That's cool. But, you know, doing the vodcasts that we do, that's going to happen here at home on my studio, on my studio Mac. Because, but everything else, man, it just manages it.
Yeah. I mean, in a pinch, when you're like, I don't know, you're traveling or something and you want to do a video real quick, you can, right? So I think that's okay.
Yeah, and the experience, and I might have said this last week, I can't remember.
You did, yeah.
Dave and I have been on shows this week. The experience is when you load it up and you start the process, it's like you forget you're working on what everybody said was going to be a crappy, cheap Mac because it just runs like that. And you're like, wow.
Yeah. The surprising thing for me were some things where Apple saved money, but it also makes sense, like the still clicking trackpad and stuff like that. But it's nobody will care. Like I mean, I know it. Nobody else does. There was a surprise, another surprise announcement this week that nobody had on their watch, and that was the AirPods Max 2. I just talked to the guys in the store and they said, we weren't expecting them either. I mean, they don't know anything other than, they get like the day off or the evening before, maybe an announcement. But usually they show up in the morning for work and it's like, oh, we have new devices today. Like for that, like for the iPhones, of course they know, but because there's a bigger, that's a bigger commitment. But like for stuff like that, they were like, they just showed up.
Yeah.
So
yeah. At my Apple store, they showed up and you could tell something was going on because there's this big, it's all glass doors to go in and people are outside waiting to pick their stuff up. And there's a big team meeting up in front. So, you know, they're probably orienting folks to what's going on.
Exactly. They bring basically the features people have been asking for. The new chips, the new H2 chip is finally also in AirPods Max. Right, that was was it last year when they switched to USB-C? I think it was last year.
Yeah.
That was the thing that baffled most people, that Apple kind of did a refresh, but all they did was different colors and USB-C. And people were like, why didn't they put the H2 chip in? But now we got that, and we got through that also better noise cancellation, adaptive audio, conversation awareness, voice isolation, live translation. Like what we got with the AirPods Pro 3, so quite a lot of cool and I think useful features. Studio quality audio recording and camera remote, interesting. I don't know why you would have a camera remote while you're wearing the AirPods Pro, but maybe someone does that. So is that something you're interested in?
Not at all.
So that's the one device you're not buying.
Oh no, I didn't buy the new monitors, and we can get into a whole thing about iPads. I decided that's probably going to drop off. I have an iPad Pro, so there was nothing that really interests me.
Yeah.
But that's going to drop off my purchasing because I don't use it as a device, and particularly now with the Neo. Mm-hmm. But no, I have really bad tinnitus. Unless it can cure that, there's no sense in me getting really, really good sound quality. And traveling, what I saw with this, with the exception of some of the audio lossless stuff that was changed, with traveling, it's been more convenient for me to use the AirPods Pro 3.
Absolutely.
And so I've kind of moved out of those big headphones. Canned market for what I'm doing. I use Shots for podcasting.
Yeah.
And then when I'm traveling, I use the AirPods Pro 3.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, I don't like over-ear headphones to begin with. The only over-ears that I, well, recently actually, last week bought are my, is my aviation headset, but that's like a completely different use case. And also about twice the price, but
When I worked in commercial radio, we had over the ears because that was what they had then.
Yeah.
And everybody I know working behind the mic would take one of the things and take it off one ear so they could hear how they were projecting. When you have those on both ears, all you're getting is echo between your head.
Yeah.
So true. And so they would use, so they never really used both of them. And that's why I like shocks, because I get both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feedback.
How about you, Dave? Like, at all interested?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, my wife has them. I bought her a pair. She actually enjoys them. I've been using the AirPods Pro for forever. I mean, I have headsets. I mean, I've got wired headsets. I use like Rode and AKG and some of the other ones. So I don't use them as often as I do the AirPods Pro for the most part. Because you got to have wired. You got to have wired headsets sometimes.
Yeah.
You
know, yes. Those
Bluetooth, you have to have, if you have something critical, you want to have a wired connection. Mm-hmm. But comparatively speaking, I mean, it looks very intriguing and interesting. I mean, the price did go up $100. So, which is understandable. I mean, there are some upgrades there. Again, with the camera thing, I don't know how I can't imagine anybody wearing their AirPods Max.
That triggering the camera, I don't know.
I mean, that's cool, but how are you going to do this? You're holding the camera, especially if you're using your iPhone. Are you going to go this? Or are you going to put it on a tripod? Or
yeah, exactly. You put it on, like, maybe for those YouTubers that want to talk about the AirPods like Maxes, and they're like, okay, the camera is somewhere on the tripod, and they can trigger like the recording that way. I don't know.
It's interesting, but I just did a looking up the comparisons to the two. I mean, you have the adaptive audio where it's added the voice isolation for calls, and then the live translation. Those features are, so that was the big thing, because they want to gel it with the AirPods Pro 3 as well, to have the same features more or less.
Yeah.
The wireless lossless audio is now at a 24 bit 48 kilobits with USB-C, which is a big difference too. And then the S Lady, it's got some adjustments with it. But the transparency mode, they do say it's more natural as opposed to good. You know, it's,
which is what the H2 chip brings, right? Because we got that H2 in the other devices.
Big upgrade. That's a huge upgrade. Yeah.
I kind of think Apple shoots themselves in the foot by having that comparison pull down chart. I think Dave was looking at one column of this and one column of that. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this is you're getting the same thing, but this one is $300 more price.
Yeah, exactly. There's another big thing happening, and that is Apple's month of celebrating their 50th anniversary, right?
Yep.
So they kicked it off this week with a couple events. I think most notably there was an Alicia Keys kind of concert in New York in Grand Central Station, right?
Yeah.
I was confused. A terminal or station, one of the two.
Yeah, I've been to I think it's Grand Central. It's right in the middle of the train station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's happening. They're doing events all over the world. I think on their website, there's a whole list. So they had a prominent figure in the Chinese pop culture. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. but he was in China. Like he did a performance at an Apple store, I think, which was, there's some pictures in the article if you're interested. It looks really cool. The Alicia Keys concert, of course, is mentioned. And supposedly there was one in Seoul, a K-pop band was there, Cordis. Mm-hmm. Never heard of them, but I guess if you're into K-pop, you probably know them. So they did something at one of their stores, and supposedly this is kicking off a whole month of celebrations across the world. So there will probably be more events like this happening. It's at least my assumption. I mean, 50 years is a long time.
really is.
Right. I mean, I always say Apple's like Apple Inc. doomed since 1976. But I mean, very few companies make it to this point. Actually, very, very, very few, and are this successful. Yeah. Right. I mean, Apple has reinvented itself multiple times. Had to also.
Yeah, I'm gonna be the angry old man in this conversation.
You mean curmudgeon?
Yeah, yes. Because none of this excites me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Alicia Keys is a popular artist. I know she even did some stuff for Apple Vision Pro, and I watched that.
Yeah. Yes.
But celebrating 50 years by having pop artists have impromptu concerts. I mean, the Beatles did that on a roof many, many years ago. You think Apple would do some tie-in to actually their product or their history?
I mean,
when they announced they were going to do something special this week, I thought, oh man, they needed to like do some, they need to put out some retro products just mm-hmm. for you know, something to recognize the history. Mm. David Pogue's book came out. That was not related at all to Apple. Nope. You know, he was at the museum, computer museum. That was not related to Apple. Those were the kind of events that I thought would celebrate 50 years, but instead, K-pop.
I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, right? Apple has, other than announcing this, not said what they're going to do. They're just saying we're going to have a month of celebrations. So it is possible that something is coming down the stream that we haven't heard of. But I think music is, to this day, a big chunk of Apple. Of Apple's DNA, really. And I mean, that goes back to Steve Jobs, who's always been into music, like, I mean, deeply. And he cared deeply about it. And minus that one time with Tim Cook on U2. Where that, exactly. Where that completely backfired.
The
iPod debacle, And like the song that they had to allow you to remove again. Yeah, and stuff like that. But I think music has been part of Apple's DNA from the get-go and is to this day. So I think it makes sense that Apple does this. Apple has always done internal concerts. Like, you hear about them. I mean, like when Steve Jobs died, there were concerts at Apple Park, or it was the Loop still, right? It wasn't even Apple Park.
Yeah, Spotify does music.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, what is I'm. When you say we have more of a month to come, I'd be surprised if we see anything that's more tied into product or more tied into what they're known for.
Which is maybe also for the better, given the past, what they've done. Yep. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I'm to some extent with you. I don't care too much about the music stuff right now, but it is, I also think about Apple. Like, I when I see this, I'm like, yeah, this is a very Apple thing to do. I mean, they did the, how was it called? The iTunes concerts they did for years in London. What's that called? Oh. iTunes Music Festival? I think that was it. So like that. Like I said, Apple has, at least since Steve Jobs then came back, like the 2000s when they started with iTunes and all of that, had a pretty strong relationship with artists and with music. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm actually surprised Apple's doing anything, because Apple is not the type of company that usually looks back very much. So celebrating 50 years, other than a press release on April 1st to say, hey, we're 50. Thanks, everybody. I didn't expect anything.
Well, if you watch the Computer History Museum session with David Pogue, Apple had unprecedented access to that, because there were people from Apple in the audience. Jobs was in the audience. Mm-hmm. He had John Sculley, who hadn't been heard from in years, that was on there, and others, and even the Ron Wayne was there. Mm-hmm. He interviewed that. So they've been very open to David Pogue, because he got unprecedented access for his book. I mean, he interviewed like 150 current former employees, including Tim Cook, for his book. So it wasn't a direct. He didn't have a direct. He didn't directly interview him for it, the book, but he had a nice interview with him on CBS Sunday Morning. But yeah, it just seems interesting how Apple's kind of changed their tune about being open about discussing, especially history. You know, he had access to all the archives that Apple maintains. And had some unreal pictures. I don't know if you bought the book yet or not, but the book is just pretty amazing. It's got color pictures, and I haven't gone to dig into it. I want to listen to it as well as read it. No, I know I'm crazy, but I just want to. I mean, and David's narrating it, so that makes it even more of a personal thing here. He's been active with us in the Apple user groups too. So we just had we had a meeting with him, and I think he's going to speak at a number of Mac user groups, which is awesome. So it's been kind of exciting to see how he's been really getting really into it, and it's on the top. It's on the New York Times bestseller list too, which is even more awesome.
Which sounds more like a historic retrospect of 50 years than a flash mob, and basically what we're getting is Apple's flash mob.
That's funny.
Exactly.
So everybody needs to just hang out in front of Apple stores and hope something spontaneous happens.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as I said, like that's for me the surprising thing. This was not announced. Like Apple was basically, oh, we're doing a concert, and it happens the same day or something. Like, it's like, or you hear after it. I hear about it after the fact. Let's talk about the last thing I wanted to talk about today, which was like all the iOS, iPadOS, whatever updates. We got a rare thing, which is a kind of a security warning or what was it called? I always forget. Basically, they pushed out a urgent security fix, like over the special security fix mechanism. What was it? 26.3.1A and 26.3.2A were pushed out to your devices. And you said it's not the normal. You get a software update. You click it. Everything reboots, and that's it. It's an urgent, super urgent fix for a vulnerability in WebKit actually. Which is being exploited. What was it about? It's something to do with, or was it Origin? Something like that. If I could remember, I could look at the article. Right, that would be easier. but either way, like it's a rare thing that Apple pushes out like updates like that and basically tells everybody like, hey, please update your stuff. They did also push out, and that's the article I put in there, an update for previous versions. So I think 15 to 26. 15.
I think something 14 like, too.
Yeah, maybe even 13 to 26, something like that. So because there's also an iOS exploit called Coruna or Dark Sword, it's not good. Web attacks basically are the reason for it. So basically, people, if you're out there, go update your devices, even if they're older. Like there's it's rare, but it happens.
26.3.2 is just for the Neo.
That's why. Yeah. I was wondering where the 3.2 came from, because everybody else has the 3.1.
It has its own special
3.2. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why the 3. Yeah. So you got a 3.2.3.2a now for the Neo, because that's the special. Yeah, the special feature. And then we got 26.4 release candidates also coming in. Yep. So thanks that I got from your show notes, Dave. I mean, nothing earth shaking in 26.4, right? There's, I think, yeah, the only thing is the family, that in family sharing you can now have individual payment methods, right, if you want. Mm-hmm. Like if I don't know, you and your spouse have, like, you want to have family sharing to share purchases and whatever, but you still like want to have separate credit cards in for some reason, or you and your kids or something like that. Like,
yeah, with me. Yeah, with me, it's my kids who are, mm-hmm, older kids and self-sufficient, but mm-hmm, I have them on the family plan, and they purchase stuff, and it shows that I paid, mm-hmm, for it. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, hey, wait a minute. And they're like, oh, no, Dad, I used my card. I don't understand, yeah, why that didn't. Well, now, yeah, there's no excuse.
Mm-hmm. No excuse. Yeah.
Yeah, same with me. I have family members on my wife, her sisters, you know.
Yeah,
and their mom. So I've got, yeah, just family members on it. It's working out great, because I get, especially with T-Mobile, I have a whole family plan, and they just divide it up, and I pay my part, and they pay their part. So it, mm-hmm, works out really well. But now this is nice. I didn't register my account to them, so I only, you can control who and who cannot, mm-hmm, purchase. Mm-hmm. So I think there was a workaround anyway. So that's why it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the problem was then you could say they couldn't purchase, but I think the problem was then they couldn't purchase at all, I think.
Yeah.
As far as I remember.
Yeah, the workaround is, I'll pay you back later, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, mm-hmm, later is never.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Anything else you noticed in 26.4 that excited you?
No, I mean, I'm running an MI-17E. Mm-hmm. And I didn't notice anything extremely out of the ordinary, mm-hmm, when it comes to that. So, there's some about 10 or so features that were added, but those were some of the notable ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is one Vision Pro related that's coming, or kind of two parts, the foveated streaming, yeah, and then the related to that, the what is it called, Cloud XR,
NVIDIA.
Yeah. Yeah, the Cloud XR feature that allows you to stream games to either from your local PC or from even cloud services to your Vision Pro, which excites me, because there's a new version of X-Plane, which, mm-hmm, is a flight simulator that allows you, or that you can use on your Vision Pro.
Yeah.
And that might be really cool, like having your own kind of small flight simulator at home that you don't need a PC and whatever for. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything
can I
else?
Touch on the iPhone 17E,
sure,
real quick?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got one, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. And, my gosh, why didn't Apple do this last year at the 16E? I mean, it just
absolutely isn't that always crazy. The question?
I mean, yeah, it didn't have a MagSafe in it now. Mm-hmm. Now it does. But, mm-hmm, now I saw out there, there's some people who you can get the back of a 17E and put it onto a 16E and it becomes MagSafe.
Oh, my God.
This case I had, I didn't, mm-hmm, have to buy a new case. It's exactly the same. I mean, it's fitting, yeah, perfectly on this, yeah, phone. But otherwise than that, I mean, I'm going to be talking. I've been talking about this at user, mm-hmm, groups and mm-hmm, on presentation. I'll probably be doing one. The fact of the matter is, this phone is an amazing entry level iPhone. To pay, mm-hmm, $600 US on this, to have just a basic iPhone, but a good iPhone. I mean, it's got the good processor. Now you have the MagSafe. It's the same as incomparable. Really, the only difference is the camera and, mm-hmm, and the screen. I mean, I definitely noticed the screen quality on this versus my 17 Pro Max. But I mean, I think for most people who are going to care about this, you know, senior citizens who want iPhones, perfect. You know, mm-hmm, folks who just don't want to have a really elaborate phone, this is perfect as well. But then people ask me, okay, what's the difference between the 17 and the 17, mm-hmm, Pro, 17E? Mm-hmm. Well, the camera is the big thing, because the camera is, yep, going to be much nicer on the 17. Even if you just go, mm-hmm, to the base 17 model, which is a, mm-hmm, great phone, but it's $200 more.
Yeah.
Do you want to justify that? And you're going to get the higher resolution screen. So those, mm-hmm, are really the top differences on it. But
yeah,
great entry level iPhone. I think I think Apple is smart by continuing this on, because, you know, we started with the XR and then and then moving on from the SE and then this. So
it's also a great corporate like phone. I mean, exactly. Our company usually does. I mean, I got an SE, and we have the 16E right now, and I'm literally just waiting for our IT department to update the basket to the 17E, and then I'll get one. So. And that's our standard. Like, I mean, we usually buy those because, and especially now, I mean, the 16 and the 17E, they're so good. I mean, this is still like lightning cable and like touch ID and all of that. It's really, I mean, it's also batteries dead, whatever. So it's just also design wise very, very outdated. And the 17 is the new design language, right? And that makes a big difference.
What you're also seeing is these things being bundled with and sold, not deliberately, but bundled as back to school stuff.
Right. Oh, true.
So your kid's going away to college, you can get a 17E, you can get a MacBook Neo, and you can get an iPad, or you can get a Apple TV, and the pricing on that is what the cost of a expensive computer, or not so expensive, a typical computer is. That, so you know, will kids stand for, and I say kids, but will college students stand for getting it, having the cheap iPhone? I don't know.
There's a lot of age. You know, hey, be happy that your parents are buying you an iPhone at all.
And there is people also. I mean, there's also college kids that don't care about that. Right. I mean, there's the ones that really care and they want the newest and the best and whatever. And there's the ones that are like, I just need something where I can have an app on when I need it. Like, I mean, some I've seen like a trend even that some go back to like dumb phones to flip phones. Like, I don't want a smartphone, basically, like, because I don't want to deal with that.
It cracks me up when I see those.
Yeah, exactly. But that there's a trend where like especially younger generations are saying, oh, I feel so old now. I don't want a smartphone. I don't want to get sucked into like social media and all of that. Like, I want an emergency phone, or I want one that I can order an Uber with, and that's it. Like,
I think, you know, Apple has made a good, and I don't think it's coming directly from Apple, but if you look at putting those together, and then putting it to the cost of a Microsoft Surface. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a whole package of tech that runs well and is secure.
And runs well together.
Yeah, and is all connected together in that way.
Good deal. You know what also runs well together with us? That is that's all technologies. awetechnologies.co.uk is the website. It's a really cool environmental monitoring company. They do a lot of train construction sites, train yards, and so on monitoring. They have the Sentry system, award-winning, I should say, multiple award-winning Sentry system, where like they have like cameras that do like stop motion or like time lapse videos. You have linked to that all the environmental data, like all the sensors, like dust, vibrations, temperature, sound, all of that. And it's really time linked. So you can literally say when this was happening here on the construction site, this was happening like on the sensors and so on. And they use it, as I said, for all kinds of like train construction sites, but also other construction sites. I've even seen some examples where Ewan was at concerts. Like sometimes concerts have concerns about environmental, like noise levels and so on, especially. And I mean, in the UK and outside. So if someone wants to get them into, I don't know, Germany is doing a lot of train constructions right now because their stuff is falling apart right now. Or Austria is investing heavily, or the US could be interesting. There's a lot going on there as well. Let you know. Like he's absolutely willing to expand that outside of the UK. But I know the technology behind it, and it's just really cool. It's like all with 5G and multiple cameras around it and so on. Like it's just a really cool system. So if you're interested in that, they're sponsoring our servers. So thanks for that. Awetechnologies.co.uk is where you can reach out to them. And what we're running on those servers is, for example, our live stream. So live.britishtechnetwork.com is where we stream this live every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time. And caution, right now in the US or Northern America has already switched to daylight savings. And Europe, I think, is another week and a half. That's on Sunday next week, I think, gonna switch. So time zones and times are all over the place right now. But it's always 4 p.m. UK time, whatever that is in your time zone, you will have to figure out. Head over to our website, live.britishtechnetwork.com, and you can watch us live, talk to us in the chat. You can see all the links. I have posted everything we talked about in articles and extra bits in the chat there as well. Cool things are coming up. Dave already posted his, so we'll see what that is in a second. And yeah, it's just a really cool solution. If you want to find a link again, or you're like, that cool thing from Dave, that's just so interesting, but what was it? Like, can I find the link? Yes, you can. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. There's a calendar on that page. Pick a date, and if you pick today's date, as we're recording this, which is March 20th, 2026, Friday, March 20th, 2026, then you will literally see everything we talked about in the chat, all the links and everything. So that's where you find it. And with that, Dave, you want to start us off with your cool thing?
Yes, look at this. This is a solid state drive enclosure. You can see it gives all the data, what's going on with the actual drive that's in here. Right inside here now is a 4 terabytes SSD. That's the maximum you can put in here. This is made by a company called DockCase. It's it does data loss prevention. It's a USB 3.2 Gen 2 Type-C. It's only 10 gigabytes, but that's efficient. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. It comes in multiple colors. If it's black, and I think it was silver. There was a pink one. I don't know how much availability there is on it.
It is on the site. I need a pink one.
So I know. I need to like that. I'm pretty impressed with this. It actually just arrived, like not even 20 minutes ago.
Nice.
It's only $50. It's not in the US. It's not bad, and it comes with the cable. It's really cool. I'm really liking this. But I'm gonna sneak my bonus one if you don't mind, because I thought it was really cool.
Sure.
I can't resist.
Sure, sure.
I did talk about it. I did talk about it on In Touch with iOS. Look what this looks like. That's an old Mac mouse, right?
Yeah, looks like a Mac mouse.
It's a case for your AirPods, and it's got this little button. You just click it to open it. So you just
so it locks, so it doesn't fall out when you drop it.
So it never opens up. Yeah. So I thought this was really kind of neat to do this. I'll put another link in the chat here for this one too. Mm-hmm. This is like $25. It's made by Spigen, actually, which is a big case company.
Yeah.
So I thought it was fun.
They make good cases.
So I might be continue to use this for a while. So all right, you got a bonus.
Yay! Yeah, good one. Marty, what's your thing?
You know, Dave, with the cool thing that he presented, is solving another problem for me. But what I put together was I when I go to the office, and if I'm going to use my Neo, I'm going to be around, and I just want to have something that I can just kind of quick charge it up or follow along. So I found this and am using it. It's the Charmast 20,000 milliamp portable charger with built-in cables. It has four different cables that snap onto the back of that are part of the device and snap onto the back. So it has USB-A, Lightning, USB-C, and then what is that? USB. I forget what that.
Got C,
what that version is.
Lightning, and you have a USB-A, it looks like.
Oh, right.
It's got the USB-B, the old one looks
B, like. B, that's what I thought. Yeah. And it has also a meter on it to tell you what charge is left in it. But this is something that if I'm in a meeting and I don't expect this to happen often, but I don't want to have to turn around and find an outlet to stick something in. I'm just going to need this to kind of, boost this up. Within 20 minutes, it pushed it up 10%. So, if I'm falling at the low end of it, this is a nice little helpful device. I can slip it in the side of the bag that I carry my, my Neo in, and I'm kind of trying to reduce all the stuff that I have to take along with me. What Dave's device does is solves another problem that I've seen. I think it's one of our listeners on a British Tech Network had suggested a similar sort of device, an external drive housing that you could put material in. So, if 512 isn't good enough for you, or if you're doing some work that you want to transfer easily between machines, Dave's got a good solution there too.
Very cool. Yeah, it's definitely a cool solution, I have to say. My cool thing today is a book. It is a sci-fi book titled Recursion. By, and now I should have opened the link, that would have made it easier. By Blake Crouch is the author. And it's a really interesting idea. So it's basically the idea is, what if under with some, let's say, help of some technology like brain scans and like a, what are they called, immersion tanks, like the those tanks where you float in water and like there's you basically like you have no sense, what is it, sensual deprivation tank, whatever, like it's basically you have no, like no outside you, there's no light, no sound, no nothing, you're basically almost floating in an empty space. So with that, the help of that technology, what if you could access basically your entire timeline? So you could go back and really go back in time to any point in your life, any point that has a strong kind of strong memory that you can access. What problems would that cause? And that is kind of what this book is about. So there's of course some problems with that. For one, you have to die in the tank basically, because it only works when you die. You can only then go back in time. And the other problem is, once your timeline, like you can go back in time and change things, but once you reach that kind of point in time where you started off, everybody that was affected by your change will remember both timelines. And I think you can imagine how devastating that can be for some people. And like, there's literally people that kill themselves and whatever because they just can't handle it. And yeah, it's like, and what do you do, like, if bad people start using this technology, how do you put the genie back in the bottle? So that's what this book is about. It's really well written. It's really interesting. It's a really also interesting concept based on a healthy dose of fiction, of course, but some science as well. Like there's some, like the whole thing about, like your life flashing in front of your eyes when you're like in a moment of death, stuff like that. That's kind of based a little bit based on that and some brain science and so on. So it's just a really cool book.
Would you go into an immersion tank?
I would not. Sounds horrible.
Oh no. I would love to do that. I mean, ever since I saw Altered States with William Hurt, I wouldn't take the hallucinogens to do it. That would drive me nuts. But yeah, I was that inner kind of stuff fascinates me. So this sounds like an interesting book. With complications, though.
Yes, and it's from the author of Dark Matter, by the way. So that's
Oh,
if you
okay.
know, like if you know that show or the books, then like you know what to expect. It's mind-bending, literally. It's really, really good book, I have to say. Yeah, that's my cool thing for today. And I think with that, we should close. We close should close this chapter of our recursion. I don't know. And Marty, you mentioned you and Dave are planning a new podcast, so I'm very, very interested to hear more about that.
Well, I'll try and tell a story quickly. I was on another show and somebody cracked a joke in the chat room and said, Marty's probably going to make a podcast out of it, in terms of the Neo notebook. And
Twist
that
arm.
Yes.
it wasn't a twist arm. It was
No.
like, yeah, I'm going to laugh it off. And then I couldn't get rid of the idea in my head. And I thought, well, let's do this. Maybe, let's see if I can get other people to do it. I thought originally maybe we'll just have, hosts that come in, different hosts that come in every week, and you know, we had a band in college that was called Medicare 7, 6, 7, or 8. And you never knew how many people. It was not St. Louis. It was a New Orleans jazz band, and that, you know, whoever, how many people showed up. And I thought, well, maybe I could do a podcast that way. So I text Dave, and he said, "Oh, that's great." And I was like, "Okay, that's great." But I think you said I'm in, or I'm interested in this. And then I texted Eric Bolden, who also had a Neo. And then I went ahead and got a hold of the guy who was in the chat room. And so we are going to do the first episode of the Neo Notebook. You can find it at on YouTube, at least the channel on YouTube, at youtube.com/@TheNeoNotebook. Probably keep it around a half hour if we can do that. Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time, which is 2 a.m. GMT. But even if you don't see it, you know, you're not up for that, subscribe and help us along. And I should have the podcast out that same night or early that morning. We're just going to start and see where it goes. There have been surprisingly not a lot of news stories that are coming out. You know, originally that's what Vision Profiles was supposed to be.
Yeah.
We'll do this until it dies off, and then it didn't die off.
And then it didn't.
So we're still doing it.
Yeah.
We're going to do that. And again, I kind of said to the co-host, there's no expectation that you're there every week. And that's not something I can hold on you. But let's find a time that we can say we're going to stream it. And whoever shows up will be part of the show. So I'm excited about it. And it's sort of, don't wait. Let's strike while the iron's hot. And we'll get the news out to the Reddit groups and such. To let folks know it's there. So
very cool. I like that. I put the
rest
link
of
in
my stuff.
Chat, so
yeah, thanks. Yeah. the rest of my stuff. Because I think this is an out. You can find it the podtalk.net, Vision Profiles on Monday night at 9 p.m. Chuck show on Tuesday, Dave show on Thursday, and then here on Friday when I'm not cooking and when I'm avoiding a dean's meeting.
That is a good reason to come on this show. I mean, not that you would need a good reason, but it is a good reason. Thanks, Marty. As I said, looking forward to the Neo Notebook. I'm gonna see what comes out of that. And Dave, I mean, I'm guessing you will be on the first show, like from the sounds of it. And
I'm going to be on there with my Neo.
With your Neo, yeah. So where can people find out more about you?
Well, you can find me at InTouchBlyOS and InTouchBlyOS.com. Just published the latest episode last night, so you get the fresh show to listen to. And the YouTube channel is youtube.com/InTouchBlyOS and Vision Profiles on Monday nights with Marty and Eric, and Tuesday nights Mac Voices Live with Chuck and the gang. Thursdays we record InTouchBlyOS, and Fridays here on the Mac Show. And Dave G65 on Blue Sky and Mastodon. Thank you.
Very, very cool, I have to say. Looking forward to your voice on another show. Like, it's gonna be cool. Yeah, and thanks for being here.
I think this is the fifth one now.
Something.
Just counting how many I do right now.
If you want to find out more about me, I'm on this very show every week, every Thursday on the. Every Thursday on the Mac, on the Big Show, where we talk about the non-Apple side of things. It's always interesting. There's always, like, AI is coming up a lot recently because, of course, that's a big topic. But also, I don't know, data centers in space and shit like that. Fridays, of course, on the Mac Show. And then everything I'm doing, social media links, podcasts, projects, all of that on my website, thepatrice.com. That's also where you find the cool things list since November 2019, all, everything. And Jeff and I are also doing Retro Rewatch at retrorewatch.com. We rewatch retro TV shows. I always like to show the mug, and like Dave is also on. We'll get Marty one, like when, maybe at Max Talk. And it's like we're we're in the middle of Stargate SG-1 right now, or season beginning of season 4. So kind of really right in the middle of it. There's 10 seasons, so kind of early. Next episode will be Divide and Conquer. Should be out probably not tonight, tomorrow morning, something like that. It's just a lot of fun and a lot of fun to do with Jeff together. And I forgot something else I wanted to mention, but we'll come back.
Thank the sponsor.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. That's what I'm. I was something else I wanted to say, but then it just disappeared again. Thanks Odd Technologies, of course. That's important. Thanks to the guys there and for like supporting us, and reach out to them if you have any kind of business for them. It's just a really good company. Thanks to all the listeners still with us. Also to Ewan and to Muller Biker. Like he's been struggling a little bit, like some health issues. Like if you're in the Slack room, say hi to him. But yeah, thanks for being here. Thanks to you too for another awesome show. It's always so much fun to do this. And yeah, we'll see each other next week for the big show on Thursdays, the Mech Show on Fridays. And with that, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.